Glad to see everyone this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you open to Matthew chapter 6? We're going to continue on in the Sermon on the Mount and hear Jesus' great words here. Again, this has been called one of the greatest sermons, well, probably the greatest sermon ever preached, at least in my opinion. And we're going to see, starting in verse 25 through 34, what Jesus has to say about trusting God. So I've called this sermon Kingdom Trust. I can't get the slide to switch over. No, there it is. Okay. Kingdom Trust is all about how we are to be as kingdom people who will follow God in the midst of the trials of life. As we've already been seeing throughout the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus calls his people to a higher degree of life, a higher calling in life than the normal people who are caught in the upside down world. The normal state for man is to be utterly separated from God in sin. That we are to be so diminished and demolished by our sin that we cannot properly relate to God apart from his regenerative work in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit comes and makes us new and makes us sensitive toward the things of God. Eventually, when we hear the gospel and he calls us to faith, we respond by trusting in him. And so that doesn't mean then that all of life's worries and struggles are gone. It doesn't mean that once you trust in Jesus as Savior that God makes every path straight and smooth and that there's going to be no difficulty in life at all. We all know this to be the truth. And yet there's still corners of Christianity and teaching that would say that if you know Jesus truly and that you are following him to the greatest degree of faith as possible, then everything should be peachy. That there should be no trials and troubles. But that's just not the uniform case of humanity across all time and space, that we have struggles in this sinful world. And so the call is not to give in to the worry, the anxiety, the care, the fear, all of the things that this world would cause on us, and it still naturally does, but it's to trust God in those things and transcend. Trust God in those difficulties and know that he's going to see us through. So in the setting of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has brought the disciples and even crowds from the cities all over are coming to hear this great teacher preach. And so they're on this hillside, probably in the midday. And what we see is the setting, I think, probably is a idyllic meadow on this hillside where there's trees, there's flowers and grass and wild birds flowing, because all of these things Jesus is going to point to in our verses today and show us that God cares for them, and we who are so much more valuable than they are to God, he will likewise then care for us. So Jesus is preaching here about our need to prioritize the things of God. We've seen in the rest of the sermon before and as we've gone through it that Jesus calls us to a heart relationship with him, not to please man, not to put on religious airs and seem grander than we are, not to hoard up for ourselves treasures on earth. But what he's getting at is that the heart of kingdom people are turned toward him. And how that manifests itself in the midst of our trials and struggles is that we don't get overcome with anxiety and worry and fear, but rather we trust in God who can handle these things. Not that we're promised the out for it, but we're promised his presence with us. So my purpose this morning is that you will... I didn't put it up there. It's in your notes. My purpose this morning is that you will give your anxieties and cares to the Lord. Give your anxieties and cares to the Lord. He is trustworthy and able to handle them. Trustworthy and able to handle them. And the proposition then this morning is that there are three trustworthy traits of Jesus the King. Three trustworthy traits of Jesus the King. We're going to see in Matthew chapter 20, or Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Three trustworthy traits of Jesus the King. And so I want to first, before we look at our sermon text this morning, is take a peek at the answer beforehand. Sometimes people, when they read a book, will go to the last chapter and read it first. I don't know why. It's like spoiling the grand ending. Or sometimes in a math book, you know, you've got the answers in the back. And so I know you never did this, but in school, I might flip to the back and find the answer. And okay. No one did that, right? Okay. Well, we're going to look at the answer first so that we have in mind the context of what Jesus is saying, the ideas of how we can get through these anxieties and worries. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time," and pay attention to this, "casting all your care on him, because he cares for you." Again, this is a sermon I've preached long before, so there's a lot that can be said here, but Jesus' hand is mighty and can hold your cares. Cast them on him through prayer. So God's strength can carry all of our burdens, all of our anxieties, and all of our cares. And so he does all of this not because he just can do it, but he wants to do it. He cares about you. So with that in mind, then, let's go to our scripture and we'll see what Jesus has to say in this regard. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. This thing does not want to change. Oh, there it goes. Okay, well, I'll just start. Maybe, Jennifer, if you can get that going, that's fine. Verse 25. "This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn about the wildflowers of the fields grow. They don't, or learn how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's pray. Our Lord, as we have read from your word today, I pray that it will have its due effect in our hearts, knowing that you didn't give your word just to speak some lofty things or some beautiful poetry or some deep truths, but you have given us your word that we might walk in it. And so, God, I pray that as we read from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount today, that our hearts will be gripped by it, that we'll be encouraged by it, that we'll be challenged to live according to it, that we might glorify you, and that we might reflect you to an upside-down world who needs to see you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Jesus here had a lot to say about worry and fear and the things that we need and the flowers and the grass and the birds. His eyes on the sparrow. Remember that? What Jesus here is getting at ultimately is that we should trust the King. And the first reason we should trust the King is because he knows. He knows what we need. In verses 25 through 29, "This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they?" Of course, the correct answer to that is yes. And if God's eye is on the sparrow, if he knows what those birds need, he certainly knows what you need. And then continuing on, "Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying?" If we could, I would be as tall as Goliath. Why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, who we talked about this morning, in all of his splendor, was adorned as one of these. You see, Jesus here is getting at the idea that God already knows the things that we need, the basic necessities for life. We learn about it in school, of course, food, water, shelter, or protection, I guess we could say, which clothes then provide as well. So Jesus in these words are saying, yes, guys, it's obvious that we all know we need food, water, and shelter. But in the first century world, it wasn't quite as easy to get those things as we have here in the 21st century. In the first century, those things were a little more scarce for the vast majority of people. They weren't so easy to come by. They couldn't just run down the road to the fast food restaurant, put an order in, and 5 minutes later get their food. They had to struggle for these things. And so we might miss a little of that context in our current world, but what Jesus is saying is God knows that you need all of these things, and because he cares for you so much, because he loves you so much, if you're going to want to transcend the ways of the upside down world, trust in God. Know that he's going to be there meeting the needs that he knows you have. The kingdom call is for kingdom people to transcend then the base living that all of the world lives. I mean, everybody in that time especially, but even today across the globe, many people worry about how they're going to eat for just that day. They don't have a stocked cupboard. They don't have a refrigerator or a freezer packed full of beef and pork and all of the things that we might enjoy in America today. But what God here, or what Jesus is saying about God, is that he knows that you need to eat. He knows that you need something to drink. And he knows that you need the protection of clothes, shelter, and all those things. And so it's foolishness to pursue those doggedly and full in your full power when we know that God knows these things already. The reason it's foolishness is because you cannot, by worry alone, produce what you need. Now, in multiple translations here, the words are... can any of you add a single cubit to his height? Or other translations say, can any of you add a single second to your life by worrying? Of course, the obvious answer, no. And so really what you're doing is expending a lot of mental energy, a lot of spiritual energy, a lot of fretting and care and concern for things that God already knows. And we're going to get into the next point, But the higher calling is for us to transcend the base instinct and to trust in God, to live out the higher calling. Now, that it's a hard thing to do for our brothers and sisters across the globe who might be hungry, who might be thirsty, to say, I need those things, but I'm serving a grander reality because this upside-down world, this life, is not all there is. If I die of starvation tomorrow, I go to heaven where all the needs are met. And so I'm going to pursue that grand reality rather than the base instinct that the wild birds pursue, or that we read in later verses that the Gentiles pursue. And so because there's a higher calling on the kingdom people, we need to pursue that higher calling. You know, we get into the idea of anxieties and worries and fears, and all of these things are true. I'm not saying that we should be free from doubt. We should be free from anxiety or worry or fear. But rather that in those times where we have those things, our instinct should not be to dwell on them, but to give them to God, to cast all our anxieties and cares on the Lord because he cares for you. That's the answer we just read ahead of time. If he cares for us and knows our need, then he'll be there for us. The root of our anxiety, then, is faithlessness. A focus on the concerns of the now rather than the concerns of the kingdom come. You know, there's as I've said before, lots of ideas that if God is there and knows what we need, then He's going to give you all that you want and need. And what we learn from these verses is that God is not going to provide everything that we want, that life is going to be comfortable and we're going to have all of the grand blessings that we think must make up the modern American life, but rather He's going to give us what we need for the day so that we can focus on building His kingdom. Because God knows what we need not fret, worry, be anxious, or feel that He doesn't care. If His eye is on the sparrow, then it is certainly on you. And so if God knows what we need in these base realities, these base needs, and if He knows but wants us to transcend the anxiety that it may cause by not having them, then the second reason we should trust the King is because He provides. We should trust the King because He knows what we need, but He also then provides what we need. Consider verses 30 through 33. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't He do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Or as our verses said earlier, look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? So He provides. If God knows what you need, He can provide what you need. Now, the tricky thing is, why don't I have everything I need? Well, you've got to ask yourself, is that truly a need that you have, or is that a want that you have? You see, we're never promised that God will provide everything that our little hearts desire, but rather He will provide the things that we need to continue to thrive and live in this world that we can serve Him all the better for. To think that God will provide all that we desire or need is a false gospel. It's a prosperity gospel, a promise that God just so happens to want for you everything that you happen to want. That's a man-centered religion, a man-made religion. It dishonors the true and living God, in fact. So rather, the principle of provision is not that He's going to give you everything, but rather that if you will commit your life to following Jesus and serving His kingdom, taking up your cross daily, living as a citizen of that kingdom, then your basics will be met. Not that you'll be rich, grand, and live in a palace, but that the worries for the day will be provided. It's the idea of manna in the wilderness. Remember the Israelites as they're wandering the wilderness. They weren't to stock up for themselves all the stores of manna that were given, but they were only to take for the day that which they would need, so that in the next day, they would again have to trust and depend on God. Only the day before the Sabbath could they collect more than they needed for the day, so that they could have it for the Sabbath. So He doesn't give us a feast in a palace. He gives us the day's needs. This is not then an investment strategy, but we're to remember that our treasure is not of this world, it is in heaven. And so our focus should be then on the kingdom rather than this world, the basic needs we have. Now in verse 30, Jesus says that if you're going to pursue those things to the detriment of the kingdom of God, it is then you are characterized by having little faith. You of little faith. Now, that seems kind of like a harsh rebuke. I wouldn't like Jesus saying, hey, Scott, you have little faith. But it's probably true. You of little faith means you are not trusting in God. You of little faith means you can do better. You of little faith means you can have the faith that dispels the fear. If you struggle with worry, anxiety, and fear, the call is to walk with God through faith more and more. not to continue in the struggle. If we're to walk by faith with the Good Shepherd, it means that He's going to lead us through valleys of the shadow of death. It means He's going to lead us through bad times, hard times, and the struggles that life brings about in our lives. This upside-down world focuses on the material increase and comfort to dispel the anxieties that they have, to dispel the concerns and the worry over what tomorrow may bring. But the kingdom person focuses on the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given because He cares. So seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We do this by letting Him reign in our hearts, by letting Him reign in our actions, by being a kingdom person and doing the things of the kingdom. It means that we transcend the worry of the basic needs of life, and we focus first on serving Him. So our kingdom life must be our first priority. The more this is true, I believe, the more we will see His provision in our lives. He will provide as you pursue. So we've seen then that we should trust the King because He knows. We've seen that we should trust the King because He provides. Lastly, we should trust the King because He is sovereign. We see this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He is sovereign. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, how does Pastor Scott get God's sovereignty out of this? You see, Jesus never promised that life would be easy for the Christian, a point that I'm trying to hammer home this morning, that we shouldn't expect a life full of ease and comfort, but rather we should expect the challenges and struggles that life may bring. And so when Jesus says each day has enough trouble of its own, he is saying that we must continually trust in the God who has all power and all knowing, able to get you through whatever trouble the day may bring. You see, it does no good to trust in a king who isn't sovereign. It does no good to trust in a king who isn't powerful enough to get you through the mess that you're going through. It does no good to trust in a king who isn't able to see the struggles that you have. You should trust the King as sovereign because He knows all that you will face, can give you all the grace you need to get through, and is strong to defeat the struggle in your life. When I think of our sovereign God, it automatically reminds me of how unsovereign I am. Or to put it a better way, I guess, when I think of the infinity and the perfections of God, I realize how finite and imperfect I am. I can't see what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what's around that corner, what dangers lurk ahead. But I trust in the God who can see around that corner. I trust in the God who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. When I trust in a God who is able to defeat all of the struggle in my life, I can rest in knowing that whatever may come, it's all good. He's strong enough. We can cast our fears on Him because 1 Peter says His mighty hand will hold us. That is God's sovereignty. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty the sovereign hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, because He is sovereign, casting all your care on Him, because He cares about you. And so the response of the Christian in these times of great worry and fear and struggle is to trust in the sovereign God of heaven, the sovereign God who's created all things, who is all-knowing and all-powerful. We don't need to fret about the future because it rests in His mighty hands. I like the song we sang, "Whom shall I fear? Because I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. He's the God of angel armies, and He's always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. You see, when God is the sovereign King, is our Father, there's no reason to let worry and anxiety overtake us. Not that it's not real, not that you won't ever face it, but when we give it over to our sovereign God, we know He's there. And so my last two questions this morning. Do you trust your cares and anxieties to God alone? And is your faith diminished by not trusting in Him? You see, we have a grand opportunity that those trapped in the upside down world don't have. An answer to the struggles that are very real. An answer to the anxieties that will overtake you. We have a God who will overcome. We trust in a Father who will lead us through these difficulties. You see, God's care for you is demonstrated ultimately on the cross. You see, those things that will bring anxiety and worry and struggle in life have their basis in sin. Or as Jesus said in these verses, faithlessness, you of little faith. And so the ultimate expression of God's care and concern for your anxiety, worry, and fear is to nail those on the cross. The source of those things is our sin. And when Jesus went and was willingly beaten and broken and flogged and crucified, He did so for the cleansing of our sin, the propitiation of our sin, that God's wrath would be eased on us, the by nature vessels of wrath, by the perfect one taking the condemnation for our sin. Sin, death, and condemnation then are destroyed on the cross. Therefore, then, there is no need to fear for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Do you find yourself crippled in fear today? Do you find yourself debilitated by anxiety? Do you find yourself sleepless in worry? Turn it over to the Lord. He may not take it away instantly. You may have to deal with it for a long time. But when you trust in Jesus as Savior and you have a Father who is sovereign, who knows all, sees all, and can provide for all you need, I believe you'll begin to see those fears, anxieties, and worries lessened. I believe you can even see ultimate victory over them, as Jesus provided ultimate victory over sin and death. The call to you who have no foundation of faith in Jesus is to trust in Him, to find that in Him, as He works in your heart and calls you to salvation, I believe that you will find when you trust in Him an ease to these issues. Not that they're all going to be taken, but you will begin to find that load that you've been bearing lightened. As He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you find this morning that you don't know Jesus as Savior, that you cannot call on God as your Father, my prayer this morning is that you will trust in Him as He leads in your heart. If He is calling you this morning to trust in Him, do not turn your back. Trust in Him as Savior. And find new life in Him. Christians, this morning we need not live in anxious fear and worry when we have a Father who knows, provides, and is sovereign over it all. Turn your anxiety, cast your anxieties, cast your cares on Him. Because He cares for you. Now this morning we're going to have a time of invitation where where the band is going to be playing a song to put your faith in the Lord. My prayer is that you will respond, that you will give Jesus your heart, that you will trust in Him more fully, that you will follow Him as He leads and find victory over these things. That you will put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and find that all these things shall be provided for you. I'm going to ask the band to come up and get ready to lead us in our song as I pray. I'll be down here ready to help you respond to God's call on your heart, to trust in Him as Savior, or to give it to Him more fully, to trust in Him. Let's pray. Our Lord, I know that we all deal with heavy things, that we all deal with anxieties and worries and fears that cripple us, that debilitate us, that cause us to have sleepless nights, that cause us to not be able to focus on anything else. And so, God, I pray that your word will continue to ring true this morning, that we can cast our anxieties on you because you can handle them, because you care for us, and in doing so, find freedom. In doing so, find relief. Lord, help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and trust you for the rest. God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.